Hey, and welcome to the Golden Thread Conversations. I am your host, Judy Murdoch, and today I am so happy to be talking to Lisa Ryanson. Lisa is an artist known for her blend of abstract elements and realistic watercolor techniques. Her art captures the beauty of contrast, vivid colors, and intricate details, whether it's the delicate dance of glass reflections or the boldness of abstract expression. Lisa's not only an artist, but also a creative mentor, teaching and inspiring aspiring artists. Her exhibitions, including galleries like Canaan, Sink, and the Clio Art Fair in New York, have earned her recognition in the art world. Indeed, she even wowed audiences as a demo artist at the Denver Art Museum in 2020. I am very inspired by Lisa's journey and her artistry, and I think you will as well. So welcome, Lisa.
Thanks,
Hello.
Judy. Glad to be here.
Hi. I'm glad that you're here too. I've been looking forward to this. So, there's so many questions and things I want to talk to you about. But I do like to sort of begin things with just like talking a little bit about your journey as an artist and like kind of how did you get started? And like also thinking about sort of how have you as an artist evolved over the years?
That is a big question. So my whole life, ever since I was a kid, I just knew inside that I felt like I was an artist even before I started making art. So I have this memory of when I was like, I don't know, 3 or 4, and my mom ripped up a mac and cheese box so that I could draw on the inside cardboard. And so I drew a dragon and I wrote, "By Lisa, artist." And so I always identified with that. But I didn't actually make art for a very long time. I was involved in orchestra in high school. And, we had like a high school survey that your friends did back in the day. And one of the questions was, if you had at the time $1 million and you didn't have to do anything, what would you do? And I wrote, "I would paint." And I hadn't picked up a paintbrush at that point. And all my friends were like, "Really? I wouldn't expect that of you. I wouldn't know that of you." So it's just something I always had inside. I wanted to go to art school, but I went to business school instead because it's more practical. Yes, as so many of us do. But I moved to Illinois with my first husband, and he was gone a lot, doing work and school and improv. And I saw a sign at Hobby Lobby for a beginning watercolor class. And I thought, this is the perfect time. I've got so much spare time. Always wanted to paint. So I took that class and it really changed my life. And that was back in 2009. I started doing watercolor and she just made it so accessible. I really understood from her how it worked, the paint and like the science behind it. So I started painting, but I was always, the breadwinner and the full-time job. So I painted on and off, had kids, took more breaks. But even when I was taking breaks, I was always thinking about art in the back of my mind and always painting here and there. And enough that the Denver Art Museum found me and these exhibitions found me. So I was doing enough to keep it going. But this year, I'm really focusing on, really, really focusing on the studio and producing more and teaching more classes. So that's how I got into art.
What were you like? Were you working as an accountant or like did you have a CPA?
I didn't have a CPA, but I was working as a tax consultant. So sales
Oh my
tax, payroll
God.
tax, and then a data analyst for a long time up until August this year.
So that, I mean, like to me, that's like such an interest. Like I'm really fascinated by people who they seem to be able to access like different parts of their brain, you know, and kind of move between those areas, which is like, it's not real common, but it's
That's what
cool.
people tell me. I've always loved math. I was always very, very good at math, and that's why I went into accounting, because I didn't really know what else to do. But it's been fun, and it's actually helped out a lot with my personal businesses. You know,
Oh,
learning,
yeah, for
having that
sure.
business knowledge has not
Yeah.
hurt me in any way.
No, not at all. Actually, that's a huge, I mean, in my own opinion, that's like a huge advantage, because most artists like don't want to touch that stuff, you know?
It is, yeah, the art part is the fun part.
So I out of curiosity, do you feel that like you're kind of like, you know, you're like how you enjoy math. Do you see ways that it like influences your art in any way?
100%. Yeah, not like the math aspect, but the detail-orientedness of business and math. So when I started painting, you also mentioned how my art has evolved. When I was painting watercolors originally, I was trying very hard to make them realistic, you know, just like the picture, very
Sure.
and project oriented. So
Right.
I always knew what I was going to do. I had it planned out. I had it mapped
Right.
out. But it
Yes.
also gave me a lot of anxiety
Yes.
because yeah, you don't want to mess up your
Oh my.
plan, right? And
Exactly.
with
Yes.
watercolor, you don't use white, it's just the white paper.
Right.
So I would find myself scared to go into the studio and paint because I was afraid of
Yeah.
messing up my painting and
Yes.
ruining everything that I had done.
Right.
But what happened was I just wouldn't paint, you know, for
Yeah,
months at a
totally,
time.
man. Yep.
It's
Totally
crazy.
get it. No, I
Yeah.
totally get it. Yep.
It's so
That's so
silly.
funny. And watercolor too is like I love watercolor too. They're like I love the properties, like the color and the transparency that you can like do things with watercolor that like you can't really do with any other medium. I think they're kind of magical, but I also know that watercolor is really unforgiving, you know? And it's like you
Yes.
can only scrape your paper, right?
Yes, I
So
completely
much.
agree. Because that, yeah,
And so it kind
it
of
is
like if you're
magical.
but if like you're a perfectionist or you have those
Yes.
tendencies, it can really make you bonkers. I know that from my own personal experience.
Absolutely. Being like paralyzed by that anxiety,
Yeah, totally. Like not
so
touching
ridiculous.
something, right? Like I remember I had like some of the stuff you haven't seen it, but I do cityscapes like you do. Like I like kind of the like I like those urban details so much. But I also like to do plants and sort of botany and that sort of thing. And I really get stressed out when I plant when I'm doing plants, because plants are right. It's like
Yes.
yeah, like I can do stuff like if it's fairly like straight lines and stuff, I'm okay. But like when it's just like a plant, I'm just like, oh. And I told this to someone and she was just like, oh, well, that sounds like a really good learning experience for you. I was just like, it does, doesn't it? But like, I mean, and
Yeah.
fortunately, right, it's good to have that self-knowledge or to gain the self-knowledge that, oh, you know, there's an issue here. And what do I do? How do I like how do I move forward? You know, even like there's our parts of me that are like, no, don't do it. But then parts of me are like, but I really want to do it. Like I really want to grow and progress. So
It's very much
clearly,
mindset.
so but clearly you are like, do you push through? Like how have you given yourself
Yeah.
permission to move forward like that?
It's been a process. So what happened was, so I got divorced in 2016, and I've also noticed that my art kind of follows my life, you know, and my personality. So after 2016, I started becoming more vocal, more myself, expressing myself more who my true self was, not holding
Nice.
myself back, not trying to be what other people want me to be. And so I ended up taking a couple of classes. I took a class on oil pastels and abstract oil pastels and abstract acrylics. And that really loosened me up because it
Oh,
gave
nice.
me like something, it gave me new ways to do things. It gave me, I learned like what the feeling of making something abstract with no plan was, and I really enjoyed it.
That's cool.
And so now I'm going through the process of kind of putting those things together. So
Right.
I'm still doing my watercolors sometimes, but I'm much more free with them. So I might like have a plan, but I'm painting much freer, much more expressively. And I've also learned that as long as I accept this, and if I don't go into some serious watercolor exhibitions, I can put
Right.
color pencil on top. I can put acrylic
Yes,
on top. I can
true.
make it mixed media.
Good point.
And yeah, so it's freed me up a little bit.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well,
and
that's
then
good.
yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
I will tell you, like those little acrylic pens, the Posca pens, those are like my best friend because they allow me to get in those little white things that otherwise I would not be able to do with watercolor.
Yes,
So they are
that
my
is so
friends.
difficult with watercolor.
Very, extremely. Yeah. So like is that a paint? I'm looking at this painting and people who are listening to the podcast won't be able to hear that, but I see a coffee cup behind you. It's like, is that one of
Oh,
your pieces?
yeah, that's an acrylic piece I worked on a while ago. I'm really drawn to shadows, light, and contrast.
Yeah, I
And
see
that's what
that.
I'm working on right now. Just a little 12 by 12.
Yeah, you really like you have a really distinctive style, and I also see your style like evolving too. Like I see how just how like you're playing more with like abstract effects and like the effects. I don't know, I'm not going to articulate that very well, but I see your work evolving and I see your style evolving and it's very distinctive and I like it.
Thank you.
You're very
I'm
welcome.
liking it too. Style is such a funny thing, and I've learned through all the years of it seems like if you just paint, then everybody has a distinct style.
Absolutely.
Like don't find your style, don't try to do something specific. Just it just is what it is.
Right. No, I agree. Do you think it is like when you talk, like when I think about style, what the way I think about it is it is my painting and it is what pleases me.
I like that.
Right? It's like whatever. So I'll give you an example, like, and we'll talk a little bit more about your mentorship in just a bit, but I took the mindful painting class you gave this week. Gosh, the week's going by quickly. And it was a watercolor, and the idea was to be inspired by a picture that was taken in France, right? And it was this very lush. It looked like a pond. It was really lush, so much greenery. And initially, what I tried to do was I tried to use a lot of water, right? So I used a lot of water and I tried to like really make it really transparent looking. But what ended up happening was I just soaked the page. I just like the page was just soaking wet. And so I let it dry for a little bit and then I just started to take the paint and I began doing just like little squiggles and curly cues and stuff with the watercolor on like the drier like paper. And it was really fun. It was like kind of feminine and whimsical looking. And I thought like that's like that idea Bob Ross I think says they're like happy mistakes
Happy
or
accidents.
happy accidents. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I like this. I've never done anything quite like that with paint, but I thought, wow, you know that this would be really fun to try like more formally in a painting. So that to me is like that's a style thing, you know, like the little curly cues and the little wiggles and stuff. I've certainly seen other artists do that. And I've always liked that. I see quite often in illustrations, but I thought, huh, well, this is fun. Right. So, like, it's this idea that your style also evolves as you, right? You have these experiences.
Yes, and I think that that's normal. You know, sometimes it can
Yeah.
be scary. I was getting a little bit of recognition for my wine glasses and wine bottles that I was painting before, and I also I'm also been sober for 3 years, so I completely stopped painting wine for that reason too.
Oh
And
my
so I'm
gosh.
like,
Okay.
wow, like what if I paint something new? Does that change my identity? Like, who am I? But you
Yeah.
know, if you paint the same thing for 40 years, that's also going to be very boring. So I think
Totally.
that it's normal
Totally.
to evolve, even if it can be a little scary.
I do too. No, I think that's a part of being an artist. Perhaps there are people who have painted the same things for 40 years and they get like total joy out of it. And if that's the case for them, that's like super cool. I just really think, I think one of the things I really love about creativity is that it has this sort of, I can't think of quite the right word, but like it has this quality of you never can quite pin it down, right? There's always a little bit of a it's unexpected. You never quite know, right, what is going to touch you and that you'll want to express. And I like that. You know, I feel like to me, like that is like the magic in creativity. You just kind of feel like you just like you're open to these different impulses. And you never quite know, right? What is and that's like to me, that's like one of the joys of being an artist is, you know, you never quite know what's gonna like you'll see it and you'll just say, oh, I love that. You know, I want to capture it. That's like so cool.
Yep, I agree. I think that's why I have such a hard time with the question of, what is your art about? What are you trying to say? What are you drawn to? Because sometimes I'll just
Yeah.
be walking down the street and it'll,
Right.
I've noticed I am very drawn to shadows and stuff, but there'll be, a shadow or a reflection. I love reflections as well. Something, and you don't plan for
Yeah.
those, and you just say,
Right.
"Ooh, I like that," and then you go
Yeah.
explore it. It's totally also not planned,
Exactly. It's the serendipity, right?
It makes
Yeah.
things exciting, makes life
Yeah.
exciting.
Well, I walk down alleys in my neighborhood because I never know what I'm going to see in the alley. You know, the alley is sort of like the secret. It's like a little bit of a secret space, and I try really hard to be also to be like really respectful because these are people's backyards and everything. But you know, I just never know what I'm going to see. Sometimes I'll see a box, and the box will just be so cool. I will take a photograph of it and then later I'll paint it in one of my like more urban collages. But I'm just kind of like, I don't know, like I was thinking about how, I don't know if you have this experience, but like there's some love there for me. Like there's something there that makes my eyes really happy and my heart happy. And when I paint it, like when I commit it to paper, it's almost like I'm making it a part of myself.
I've never really thought about that before. You just said something that it feels like love or love.
Yeah.
It has a very similar feeling in my body.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the type of love like we might have for our kids or our husbands, but there's a kind of a like feeling in your body of like, wow, this is cool. This is really freaking cool. And my eyes are like, woo, I like that, you know? And again, like to me, that's like one of the joys of being a visual artist is having that body experience.
Yes, absolutely. Even walking through museums, you get that feeling too.
Do you have any artists, known or not, that you really love, whose work you just really love?
I think my favorite one right now is a guy in New York. His name is Casey Baugh, and I love his portraits because they're so expressive and he has really interesting light contrast in there. But they're really beautiful.
That's really cool. What do you find as an artist? What is challenging for you? Like, we talked a lot about perfectionism, and also a little bit of the challenge of maybe being known for a particular style or a particular subject matter, and then feeling, do you have that feeling a bit of like you're going to disappoint people because you're not painting what they like anymore?
That is such a interesting thing. I did have somebody one time say to me, it was a student, and she told me that she was so sad when she saw that I was painting abstract things because she really loved my other ones. It's interesting how attached people get to something. But art should be, I think, very personal. I still teach realistic watercolor, even if I don't paint it all the time now. But what I find the most challenging, I think, is getting out of my own way, my mindset. So
Oh, such a
anything
good way
that's
to think
blocking
about it.
me, yeah, it's so hard. You have things that block you from getting in the studio, you have things that block you from sharing your art, from marketing it, from wanting to sell it, but then also feeling guilty for taking money for it. Like, I don't know if that's
Does
just a
that come up
personal
for you?
thing.
Does that come up for you?
Sometimes it does. So it's, yeah, I think it's such a mental game, I guess. So that's the most challenging thing.
I remember I was in Salida. Have you been in Salida, Colorado?
I don't think so.
You probably really enjoy
I've
it.
heard of it.
There's a lot of galleries down there. There's a lot of art, a lot of artists, and one of the artists has had a her studio's been there forever. Like, she's had her gallery. She and her husband have a gallery down there, and I remember talking to her. This was like the last time I talked to her, and she said, you know, being an artist is really hard. And I didn't ask her to elaborate on what she was saying, but I sometimes that really resonates for me, because I think being an artist, it is not like being an accountant.
No, it's not.
It's a weird sort of it's a strange occupation in some ways, because I think most occupations we think about, and this kind of plays into another thing that I love about creativity, but most occupations are, we do it because we are solving some kind of a problem, right? We're solving a problem. Accounting is like, I mean, accounting is like so incredibly essential, even for me, I'm not a person who was ever drawn to being an accountant, but I have so much appreciation, because to me, accounting is like that is like showing, like shining a light on the money, where the money is going, where the money's coming from, where the money is going, where maybe it shouldn't be going, right? Like, all that type of thing. And it's a really essential, it's an essential thing. But art does not solve problems, right? That's the thing. We don't solve, we're not solving a problem, really. And I think that makes it both a little difficult to define, but I think it also makes it like so cool, because I like the thing with art that you are creating what you want. You're not painting a picture because, like, oh my God, there's a bare space on the wall, right? And we got to get something there. We're painting because, like, there's something in us and it wants to be expressed, and we're expressing it, right? We're making something that is not, that's just in our imagination, and we're making it tangible. We're making it something real. And that's like so cool.
I agree. Yeah, it's an amazing, magical thing. And I think that's also what makes it hard sometimes too, because you're kind of putting a piece of your soul out there into the world, also to be judged.
I know. I
So you
hear
have
ya.
this dance or fight of, I want to express myself. I want to be seen. Oh, but at the same time, I'm scared to be seen. I'm scared to, and so it's
I hear
this
ya.
battle. And so again, getting out of your own way is so
Yes. No.
important.
I think that is yeah, I did a workshop with artists last week, and it was mostly about pricing, marketing, things like that. And I think that it's where the challenge is. Maybe you tell me if this resonates for you. Not, I don't think all artists struggle with this, but I know for me, it sounds like for you, for I think people who really, it's not just like enough to create something. You really want to connect. You want it to connect with people. Like you want to kind of want to put it out there. And there's just something about that. Like it's like a circuit that needs to be completed. I don't know how better to say that. It just feels good when people see your art and they take it in a way. Like maybe it changes them a little bit. I imagine it does always, even if folks aren't aware of that. And there's something that feels really good about that. And again, I right. And I think that again, that's like a temperament thing, a wiring thing. I think everybody needs different things from their art, but I know most artists who have that desire to display and show. It's like even when I was a little kid, right? I was like you. I drew. I drew. I loved figuring out how to make things. And I would always show my art to people. Like I'd always say, like, look what I did. And I think, really a lucky kid that I had so many encouraging adults in my life. And they would all say, like, oh, look at that.
That's so nice.
And I really feel like blessed, right? That I had some of these really encouraging adults in my life who were just like, oh, isn't that beautiful? But yeah, there's just something nice about that. And then there's this other piece that comes up in us also, which is also, I think, like a really protective part of ourselves, right? It's like that, like our human tribal part that is like,
Yes, to be accepted.
exactly. Like, it's like, oh, you need to be like, you need to belong to the tribe, and you need to be like, people need to see you as like useful, like, right? Like, you don't want to be kicked out of the tribe. And it's like a hunter-gatherer thing because it's like, hundreds of thousands of years ago, like it would have been a death sentence, right? To be kicked out of the tribe. So of course, it's a really strong impulse in us. And even now in the modern world, right? It still hurts to be kicked out of a group that, like you value. It's still really painful. Being shunned is like one of the most painful experiences a human being can have. And so I agree with like our art. It's like, on the one hand, like we really want to share our art, and then the other hand, it's like it's so tender.
It is. I've heard from multiple places recently, our brains can't really tell the fear of like a bear or something coming to get
Yes.
us,
Yes.
or
That's right.
us, getting a weird comment online or something. Like, our brain doesn't know the
Yeah.
difference.
That's
And
right.
so we have to
Yeah.
talk to ourselves a lot and calm ourselves down. But to your point about the circuit too, that's so true. Like, I've been in and out of galleries depending on what was going on in my work life or my family life. And when I'm not displaying my work, there's a weird feeling that I have of like, if a tree falls down in the forest, does
Right.
anybody, like, what is the point of me making art if nobody sees it, whether people like it or not, I feel. And then, but when I do show it, when I do have it out there, it does feel like the cycle is complete.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
I wish I could. I mean, I guess I could do a dissertation on it or something, I'm sure it's like one of these human brain things or something, but yeah, no, I agree. Tell me, since we're kind of talking about these things, tell me like what like you call you're calling yourself a creative mentor, and like do you have a vision for like where do you want to take that? Do you imagine that you would have students or people that work with you like where would you love to take that?
That's a good question, and I'm still kind of figuring that out. So I got laid off from my job in early August, and I'm focusing 100% on the candle business that I have and my art. And so I'm trying to figure out where I want to take that. I'm teaching again, which is great.
Right.
I have had private students in the past, and so that might be one thing that I might open up again. I'm going to be teaching at the Rocks Gallery soon in Aspen Grove in Littleton, and I'm planning to do some recorded classes online.
Good.
Yeah, I word it as like a creative mentor because the way that I teach is I don't teach a specific style or a way to do something. What I really want to give artists are all of the tools that they need to be able to create what they want. So, for watercolor, for example, you can paint really realistically, you can paint really expressively, you can even paint abstractly if you want to. What I love to teach is how to do all of the techniques so that when they have a vision and they say, I want to create this painting, I want it to look like this, or I want it to feel like this, they'll know how to make those effects and how to, do that. And then I also teach, kind of what makes a good painting and how we can improve our paintings like that. I love teaching. So, we were talking about selling our art and how that can be hard sometimes because it's not a service. You're not providing value. It's just like this, in my mind, this luxury thing that you don't have to buy. It's not a need. But teaching, I don't have the same
I get it for
block.
sure.
I'm helping people. They're happy. They're enjoying. Like it's a totally different thing. I really love teaching, so I am hoping to do more of that.
Do you do critiques? Do you offer critique work
A
for your
little
students?
bit. I'm thinking about having like a repeated virtual community critique. Critiquing is honestly something that I don't find easy because I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. For
Totally get,
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And it's also so subjective.
I know.
You have all these different paintings, and I'm personally more concerned with how do you feel? How do you feel about it? Are you happy? Are you relaxed? Did you enjoy yourself? Because more than anything, I want people to enjoy themselves, and I don't want people to get beat up or beat themselves up because their painting
For
isn't what they
sure.
expect it to be,
Yes, I do.
So I'm trying to get more comfortable with giving constructive feedback and critiques in a helpful way. It also helps me a lot more if I know, like, if the student is saying, I'm trying to accomplish XYZ. Here's my painting. How do I get there? That's easy for me to help with. But,
Well,
like, a
that's,
straight up cold critique is difficult for me.
I think too, like, the way you're explaining it, I bring it up only because when I did the workshop, there were several artists were just kind of bringing, just talking among themselves, but like talking about how much they like having critiques. And I think that when they talk about critique, I think they're thinking about something in particular. They're not, I think a critique can be so many different things. And I suspect that what they are thinking of is something more where someone's looking at their work and saying, I really like this, or I really like your use of that color. So they're more, I think, perhaps sharing like how they are connecting to the painting and the things that they like. I doubt very much that these are critiques for the person doing it was saying something like, like you really need to work on your, like your use of shadow. I suspect that's not what they were hearing. I think it was, maybe it really was more of that. This is how your painting is touching me in positive ways.
I like that. That makes sense.
And
Okay.
That I'm guessing here. I really don't know for sure. So I'm just thinking maybe critique means different things to different people.
I think so. That makes sense because I've been critiqued many times, and sometimes it can be pretty brutal.
Yeah, I bet it can be. And here's a question for you. Do you think the brutal critiques are useful?
I think it depends. I think it depends on what you're critiquing. Like critiquing somebody's style, I don't think is useful because everybody has their own styles. But it can be very helpful to see it from somebody else's eyes, somebody else's point of view. Or if you're
Even if
trying
it's
to.
brutal.
Even if it's brutal, well, say for example, because this is, say for example, you are wanting to get into a certain gallery and sell your work. And if they give you a critique, even if it's brutal, you know what they're looking for.
That is
Whether
true.
you want to comply to that or not is totally up to you.
Because I think like there are certain things, at least there are certain things where you can look at someone's work and you can say, kind of more from perhaps a technical or skill perspective, they've got a ways to go. Or if they are interested in going there, but you can kind of see, from like kind of just like a style perspective or technique or skill perspective, like there's a lot of stuff they could do to improve, right? You can say that. But I'm always really hesitant about that just because like unless I know the artist and what they want to do. I mean, if they're just doing it for pleasure,
Exactly.
like if it just makes them happy, like who am I to I mean that's they're not trying to like be amazing artists. They're just doing it because they love it. And I just feel like, well, who am I to judge, I
And I
think
think
it's
that's the most important part is do you like it? Are you having fun? Like,
And
are you
also,
enjoying
like, and
yourself?
they're doing it, right? They're picking up their paints
Yes.
and they're doing it, and like, yay for you, man. I'm like, yeah, do it. Who cares whether it's good or not? But then there's also this other piece. So this is the other thing I think is so challenging about being an artist and creating art is that I think that the art world, and not just the art world, I think there are many other like occupations. I think it's like where quality is pretty subjective, right? It's like I think it can be like the art world can be really nasty and brutal. And like I know somebody's talked to me, they said, like, well, I don't know, you probably wouldn't be showing your stuff in a gallery. And I was thinking to myself, huh. Like part of me was like hurt by that, but then part of me was also like, would I want to be in a gallery? I don't know. Like if it's that nasty, like I that's not where my head is at these days. Like I'm not like wanting to compete at that level with people. Like kind of like yeah, kind of the it can get really nasty. And that is just not who I am. I don't enjoy that.
And I think that's why it's so hard too, going back to what is challenging about an artist and, you're putting your soul out there, you're putting your best effort out there and getting beat down like that makes you not want to do it anymore. And it's so good for you. I have not finished this book, so I'm not gonna like delve into everything about it, but there's this book called Art in the Brain, something about art in the brain,
Is it
and
like your brain
how
on art?
your brain on art, yes, that book. I started reading it and I haven't finished yet, but it's amazing how just doing, 20 minutes of art a day helps us as individual people. We're happier, we're calmer.
Really?
So I think anybody doing art, I want to do everything that I can to let them continue doing art,
Totally, totally. No, I agree. I know that there was a time in my life where I was like very, very dedicated to my business career. That was just really what I wanted, and that was what I really felt would be fulfilling in my life. And at some point, I got to a place where I started to realize that, like, I kind of like I needed to do like some sort of visual art. Like, I needed to do it. And if I didn't do it, I would get crabby. It would just feel like something was building up in me. And like, it was, I think it's just like there's this part of me, my brain maybe, that just like, like when you do art, like, you're not thinking, you're not figuring things out. You might be figuring something out, but it's not in the way that you do when you're like working on numbers, or you're working on like something like I hate to use the word left brain because that's been kind of disproved, but kind of something more quantitative and logical, like kind of that very sequential logical work that sometimes we do with our brains. And I know for myself, there's just something about like, yeah, I might be trying to figure out color, like, do I mix this? Do I mix that? I don't know. And or how might I apply this? And it's a problem, but it's a I'm using a totally different part of my brain to solve that problem. And that part of my brain is just like having a good time. It's like, woo, I like this,
I think it's important, and I think we all have it to some extent. I guess some people more than others. Like, I
Yeah, for
get
sure.
depressed if I'm not creating something.
Yeah, I hear
So I've
you.
learned that I have to keep doing something. It could be sewing costumes, or it could be making candles, or it could be redecorating a room in my house, or like something. I have to be painting something. I have to be creating something.
Right.
Otherwise, I just get depressed.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I hear that. Tell me a little bit if you are interested in your candle business, which you mentioned. You talk about it a little bit. What I'm curious about is like, how does like your candle business and then your creative work, like how do those two sort of feed each other?
Yeah, so earlier this year I started making candles. I just had this like thought in the back of my brain for the last year or so, like I really should try to make my own candles. So I finally did it. And while I was learning how to do it, I found out how toxic all the candles that we make or that we burn are, the pillar candles, the scented candles. Like the pillar candles are all made of paraffin, which is petroleum, and they're all that. So I created my own molds and created my own candles, and it's such a different, like, it's creative. That's what I love about it. It's all been creative problems. How do I want, like, I want to make this candle. I can't find a mold. How do I make a mold? Let's figure out how to do
How did
this.
you do
And
that? So how did you do that? I'm so curious.
so they sell this like mold mix, silicone mold mix, and you have to mix these together and pour it over something and let it cure. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But then I started thinking like, ooh, I could carve into candles, or like the artist in me, I love the colors. So the colors are very important to me. So it's just a different medium, I guess.
It is.
Wax instead of paint,
Totally.
and molds, making my own molds and things like that. So it was nice. I didn't paint for a couple months because I was working on that so hard. But it was still like, satiating the creative need.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I get it. Okay. That's cool. Do you want to talk about like do you have rituals or like that are associated with the candles? Do you want to talk about that part of it at all?
So they are, the ones that I make are metaphysical candles. They are all crafted with intention. So I have large pillar ones that are rolled in herbs for different things like creativity or intuition. And the biggest challenge I had was for, spell work or ritual work, there's these little chime candles. And That's what they're called. They're 4 inches high, half an inch wide. And the challenge was nobody sells any molds for that.
Oh,
You can't
wow.
buy molds for that. And those are the toxic ones. And you can't like buy anything else. So those are the ones that I really had to problem solve and
Wow.
figure out how to make molds for that. So those are, for more. They'll burn for like 2 hours, so something a little bit more specific. Or for a meditation, I like to burn them when I meditate.
Nice.
So,
Do you burn
yeah,
them when you paint?
I do. I have one right here, my creativity candle.
Oh, that's so pretty. I
I do.
love
I do have
that.
a little ritual where when I come into my
Yeah.
studio, I light my candle and I light my incense, and it kind of gets me in the mindset fast. Faster than, not doing my little ritual.
Yeah, like you're kind of setting up those physical cues for yourself, right? Kind of getting yourself there. That's really, really cool. Oh man. So one other question for you about creativity is, like, have you okay, so here's how I like to frame it. So although, like, you've already framed it for me in a way. So I am also very intrigued by when we think about creativity, and this is not my own work, by the way. This is the work of a man called, his name is Robert Fritz, and he's written a number of books. The book that I remember reading by him, it was called The Path of Least Resistance. And Robert himself is an artist. He's a composer. He's a musician. His wife is a singer, I believe, a vocalist. And his idea is, what if other problems that we struggle with as human beings, what if instead of solving a problem, we could just create what we wanted, right? So, like, an example there with you was, you had a problem. You wanted to make candles. You couldn't find the molds, so you created the molds, right? You found a way to make it happen. And so the idea is, how do we apply that to other problems that we struggle with, which may not immediately lend themselves to thinking about a cre like you don't think about it, oh, is there a creative solution to that? But I'm really intrigued by that idea, because I mean, in any given day, right, we all, like, how many problems do we think about in our day, right? Like, I'm trying to think of just like something like kind of just like a really kind of stupid mundane problem that I have. I can't think of something like, let's just say, like, you need a new car, right? Like, you've got a car, it's not really working so great anymore. And so instead of coming from it from a problem perspective of, like, I need a new car, I need to replace my car, you think of it more from the perspective of, like, what do I want to create? So you're going to kind of blow it up, and you say, well, what do I want to create? I want to create some, like, I need transportation. So I and like I think a car would do it, but maybe not. Because, like, you might say, well, I need transportation, but I only need it to commute in the city. I don't know, maybe, an electric bike might do the trick. But the idea is basically to, like, make it kind of like take the problem. And instead of focusing on what's not working, you focus on, well, what do I actually want? Like, what are my criteria? Like, what are the factors? Like, what do I need to kind of tick off so that I have what it is I want? And I really like that way of framing problems. So, like, sometimes, like, I like to, and I think this is like a, it really, like, plays into this creative mentoring idea of, if somebody is complaining about a problem, like, let's say you could try this with your kid, probably, like, maybe they're complaining about something, right? And you can say, okay, like, I hear you. And, well, what do you want? Like, they'll say, like, I don't know. Like, I hate eggplant, right? Like, I hate eggplant for dinner, mom. Don't serve it to me. And so you say, like, okay, but, it's, I really want you to have some vegetables, or have, Some sort of plant in your di dinner, right? So what do you like? What do you like? You know, what do you want? What do you want it to be like? And I don't know, maybe they say like, well, I want it to be like spaghetti or something. I don't know. Whatever your, I have no idea what your kid would come up with, but you know how it is, right? So like you're it and it the energy when you reframe it feels a whole lot better than it does when it's a problem. Because when it's a problem, you're completely focused on like, this doesn't work. I'm not happy. You can just feel your whole body is all like, But when you think about it from the perspective of what do I want, it's like, oh, you just feel looser and like, ooh, this is fun. I like this. So anyway, just sharing this with you because one of the things I really love about like talking with other artists and creative people is like, I love like, how can we get this into our world more?
I love that. I
You
think it's a
know?
lot of like the difference between manifestation and controlling as well. So,
Yes.
you know, it
Yes.
so all the creativity also very much blends into my candle magic business. And that just made me think I did a class this week. So I teach people how they can manifest their intentions using candles. And it's very much when you have something that you want to change in your life, it's much better, like you said, to not focus on the problem and to kind of open yourself up. So, like, if you have an issue and if you say, I am looking, your transportation issue, and you want to do a spell or manifest, I want this specific car. It's best to really drill down and figure out, well, like, why? What are you actually needing?
Exactly.
I'm
Yeah,
looking for
exactly.
a safe car. I'm looking to drive to these places. I'm looking
Right.
it for it to be in this budget, you know. So maybe the universe will give you a car that fits all those, and it might not
Right.
actually be the car that you think that you want,
That's right.
but it's
That is
gonna
right.
meet all your needs.
It's like this or
So,
something better, right? This or something
yeah.
better. Yeah.
So keeping open to possibilities. And
Yeah.
I like that idea of thinking about what we can do. Because even when I was a tax consultant and a data analyst, so much of my job was very creative.
Really?
So a lot of the times I was figuring out how can we automate this for our
Yeah.
client? How can we
Yes.
create a process? How can we create reporting that will answer their questions? How can,
Yeah.
oh, this takes us, 40 hours. What kind of coding can I do? What kind of program can I create to make it automatic?
Yeah, that's a really, I mean, that's a very, in my opinion, that's a really valuable, like, I don't know, it's partly like a talent, but it's also sort of like a mindset.
It's
It's
very
very,
much a mindset.
it's very, I mean, it's a really valuable mindset, I think, to bring to business. assuming you have people who appreciate it, not everybody appreciates that, but in my opinion, I appreciate people who are always looking at sort of how can we do this better? You know, how can we like not waste so much time and you know that kind of thing. Yeah, so I have a great appreciation for that. That's really cool, Lisa. Anything else that you want to share that you haven't had a chance to share today in our conversation?
I don't think so. We talked about a lot.
We really talked about a lot, but it was really
It
fun. I really enjoyed it.
was fun. I enjoyed it
Yeah.
too.
I'm really glad. So, Lisa, for people who want to like learn more about your art or something you're doing, how do they find you? What's the best way?
I think the best way is to go to my website, www.lisaryanson.com. And Ryanson is RianNNSON. On my website, you can see my art. I have some free PDFs on there to learn about watercolor techniques and
Nice.
supplies.
Thank you.
My classes are listed there too. I'm on Instagram at Lisa Ryanson, and I'm on Facebook at Lisa Ryanson Art. I'm trying to be more social on those. So if you follow me, I'm trying to post more. And I'll be teaching a lot as well with the Park Hill Art Club, online virtual classes, recorded classes, and soon I will be exhibiting and teaching at Rocks Gallery, ROX, in Aspen Grove in Littleton.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
This was
thank
really
you.
fun.
I enjoyed chatting with you.